With the future sustainability of our healthcare system a growing concern, Canadian Medical Association President Dr. Robert Ouellette presented a series of blunt questions in a presentation to the Club Canadien de Toronto on October 21, 2008. These questions were directed at what we're getting for the money we're spending each year on our healthcare system, whether people should accept the level of care and performance we are receiving for this expenditure, and how we rank against other countries with universal healthcare systems. And I'm pleased to introduce Canadian Medical Association President Dr. Robert Ouellette. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My first question to you is, what were the questions you presented as a background to your hypothesis or thesis about what should happen to our healthcare system?
Well, we believe that the healthcare system needs improvement right now because if we compare ourselves to other countries, and I've said that in my speech, Canada ranks 30th among the industrialized nations that have modern healthcare system. For the money that we spend and the results we get for that money spent. So we are 30 out of 30. So this is we're the last one on that. And in 1970, Canada ranked 4 in the world in the ratio of doctors to population. Now we're 26. This is not improvement.
You mentioned that if you were to take your car to a garage, and the garage were to tell you that your car would not be fixed or repaired to any point that can be useful for 9 months, you wouldn't see very many people going back to that garage.
Exactly. And we accept that for healthcare, and nobody will accept that for their car. You know, it's quite a nonsense because just ask some people, if the garage will tell you we can't see you only in 9 months, we say, what? We don't accept that. And could we go elsewhere? And the system says no. And this is unacceptable.
Now, to give people an idea of what's happening, because Quebec is different from the rest of Canada in terms of what they are doing with private services, or at least access to services outside of the universal system, what can people do in Quebec right now?
Well, for some, I have some examples because it's not for all the procedures, but let's say for CT scans, MRI, and ultrasound, because I'm a radiologist, I know that field quite very well. What you can do is if you think that you're waiting too long, if you have insurance, you could go to a private clinic and get your exam done. Of course, you're not reimbursed by the health care, so, I mean the Régie d'assurance maladie in Quebec. You're not reimbursed. You have to pay out of your pocket, but most of the insurance plan, they agree to pay for that exam, and they will pay up to 80% of the cost. So those people, they don't want to wait because it's their health, and they don't want to wait 9 months to have an exam, so they come to a clinic, a private clinic, and there are actually in Quebec there are 20 MRI clinic work in operation.
And as well, I believe they have centers for orthopedic surgery as well in some areas. I think Montreal has one, and there's one in Laval, I believe.
Yes, but this is not a growing business. It's a small business because there's one or two orthopedic surgeons that are doing that for people that want to pay out of their pocket. But this is quite costly because, you know, you have to pay for a full operation and the hospital and everything. So it's not everyone that can afford that. What they are doing right now, and they had a contract at a clinic called Rockland MD, which had a contract with the Hôpital Sacré-Cœur to do some surgeries for them because they didn't have operation time at their hospital. So that clinic had built 5 operating rooms, and they are, let's say, lending those operating rooms to the public system to help to have surgery.
What have been the trends in Canada with respect to health service provision, the cost to maintain the system, and the areas that you have noted that require urgent attention?
Well, you know, there have been some improvement. We have to say that there's some improvement, but still, if we compare ourselves for the wait time for a hip replacement surgery in France, it's 2 weeks, and we are trying to put our goal at 6 months. This is a big difference. And the healthcare system in France doesn't cost more than ours. So we have a problem.
How then do we move towards a model, or at least incorporate the best aspects of models of other countries that provide universal care?
Yes, there have been a lot of studies, and we know how it works. What we want to do at the CMA, we want to, let's say, make a blueprint and present that to the governors, the provincial and federal government. And we want to do that going on a trip in Europe just to verify what are the information. Because sometimes you can read a report, but when you go at their place, then you ask the right question, what is working and what is not? Because sometimes you don't have the picture if you're away. And if you ask people, maybe sometimes they will say, don't go there, because we had so many problems with that. Maybe you see that as a solution, but don't do that. And sometimes they will say, well, do this, because this is working. So we want to do that, and we want to present that to the population.
So how will this be organized? Is this an invitation to the health ministers to accompany you to look at these programs?
We didn't start with that right now because we're just starting this initiative. I'm going with a small group from the CMA to first UK in November, and probably in January we'll go to France, Denmark, and Germany, and a few countries like that. Maybe if some, you know, those people at the health ministry, they have done those trips.
Right.
And it's not just to do another trip and to have another commission or a study. I'm tired about
right.
studies. We need action. But we need to propose something. And we, the doctors, want to be involved in that. And that's the big problem sometimes. You have bureaucrats or politicians that are putting on some systems, but they don't ask doctors what they think about that. And we need to have our input, because if we want the system to work, we need to be there.
Now, do you think the public is also ahead of governments with respect to new approaches to healthcare provisions?
Maybe they're not, because what is the big problem in Canada is people, they accept. They know that there is a problem, but they seem to accept that, and it's not acceptable, and they should not accept that, because they think that nothing can be done, and this is not true, because other countries have changed radically the way they were doing things, and they got improvement. And just an example is the UK. In England, 5 years ago, they had the same kind of wait list that we have right now, and they fixed that in 5 years. So this is possible. Maybe they did some mistake, and we will try to see what went wrong. And we have other countries, most European countries, they don't have any problems with wait times, wait lists. They don't have wait lists. So it's possible. And they have universal system. So this is possible.
So I guess the question then is, how do, with that information and with that evidence that demonstrates that other countries are providing more quicker care to their populations, how does that information then get to the Canadian population to understand and at least be aware of that? Because as you mentioned, it's sometimes easier to go over and see it happening as opposed to reading reports. And it obviously is not, it's a non-starter to get our population to go over to see what's happening, but maybe something to bring over from there to hear for them to actually see and how it works.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to do this year. This is my goal this year, to show Canadians, listen, this is, you don't have to accept the situation like it is right now. And it's possible to change that. And even without going in bankruptcy for a country, because other countries have done that. Of course, we have to be aware that there is a cost for everything. But as I said, if we rank 30th out of 30, this means that we're not doing things properly. And we need to change. One thing we need to change is the way we finance hospital. Right now, we're financing hospital with block funding. Block funding, you send an amount of money to the hospital, and the next year you just increase by, let's say, 2 or 3% the cost of life. But there's a different way to do that, and one of them is called patient-focused funding, funding based on activity, which changes a lot of things, because now you have an incentive to find ways to do a better job, to have more patients, because the patient now becomes not an expense, but a revenue, which is quite different as a philosophy.
We're in conversation with Canadian Medical Association President Dr. Robert Ouellette. And when we come back, I want to focus on a couple of areas. One was where the Dr. Ouellette is calling on the federal government in the next federal-provincial meetings of health ministers for actions in five areas. And I want to focus on those areas, focus on the doctor shortage, and as well get a recap of the broad outline of the goals of the CMA for this year and what Dr. Ouellette wants to do to try and raise awareness within Canada. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call. We'll be back in several minutes.
Now back to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Welcome back. We're in conversation with Canadian Medical Association President Dr. Robert Ouellette. And Dr. Ouellette, I wanted to turn to five areas that you want to focus on and have the federal health ministers, federal provincial meeting of health ministers, look at this year. And these covered areas of wait lists, dealing with the doctor shortage, a national drug plan, patient-focused funding that you mentioned just a little bit earlier, and the complementary role the private sector can play in supporting the public system. Can you get into each of these areas a little bit for us?
Yeah. Well, reducing wait lists, we talked about that just earlier, that we want to show that there are some possibilities to do that. And this is linked with the fourth point, bringing in patient-focused funding for hospital services. So this is two things we want to focus on, and I've talked about that previously. Mm-hmm. But we have other things too, because we need, of course, more doctors in Canada. Because as I said, we're now 26th if we rank with other countries, and we need more doctors to do the job. And so we've been pushing that issue for 1 year with our campaign, More Doctors, More Care. And we need to have more students in medical schools. There's been an improvement from the government, but we need more than that because, mm-hmm. you know, there were cuts done in the 90s, and we're still suffering from those cuts. One other thing I want to talk about this year is the National Prescription Drug Insurance Plan. What I'm calling national prescription drug, I'm giving the example of Quebec, not because I'm from Quebec, but right. it because it's working in Quebec, and it's been there for more than 10 years. And this is a compulsory program for everyone, but you can choose between being insured by the government or by a private insurance if your company or your organization is giving that kind of coverage. Mm-hmm. But one thing, it's not a first dollar coverage, so you have a deductible, you have a copayment, but there's a maximum that you have to pay during a year. The premium, there's a maximum for the premium. And if you're a low-income citizen, then you can afford to pay either the copayment, the deductible, or the premium, then the government will pay for that. So this is a very socially acceptable program. And it's so uneven in Canada between other provinces. And it's like that Medicare is not taking care of that part of the treatment because, you know, let's give an example. You have a pneumonia. You see your doctor. Medicare will pay for your doctor. He asks an x-ray. Medicare will pay for the x-ray. But when it comes to the prescription you receive from your doctor for antibiotics, Medicare says, well, that's not my problem. That's yours. And this is, for me, this is part of the treatment. And we should let people, you know, some are calling for a catastrophic drug plan. What is a catastrophic drug? Mm-hmm. I mean, for some patient, there it could be a catastrophe to have, let's say, $1,000 to pay. So I strongly believe we need to have a national plan. And it's a three-tier system, the federal government, the provincial government, and the patient, because the patient has to pay his part. But, you know, we're not starting from scratch because there's some money in the system, because some of the people in other provinces already have some kind of protection by private insurance. So we're not starting from scratch. And that's what they did in Quebec. They built on what was existing.
Now, there was also, you're calling for a complementary role the private sector to play in supporting the public system. And I think you alluded to that in the first part of our interview with mm-hmm. regards to radiology centers and imaging centers providing access for people to reduce sort of the wait time for that specific area.
Yeah. And you know, if you have a surgeon that you can't have operating time, well, what is he doing? This surgeon, you must use all his skills, all in the facility. If you have at your hospital, he can do 90% of his time at the hospital. But if he still have time to do operation, why not permit that surgeon to do 5 or 10% in the private sector? And there could be some insurance covering that. So, you know, it's we have to look at every possibility. And I don't want to privatize the system in Canada. This is not the way to go. It's not going toward the U.S. system at all. But there's only two countries in the world that still don't have a private sector. And I'm not including Canada because there is a small one.
Right.
But there's still only Cuba and North Korea.
Right.
But everywhere in the world, there's a private sector. But the thing we have to do is to control that, not to open the door and let everyone do whatever they want. This is not the way to go. Because if we are still saying, "Oh, this does not exist. We don't want that." It's developing. It's going on, and we have to put barriers or structures, not to say you don't go that way at all, but to put some rules, and it will work much better.
Now, given that the Fraser Institute just produced a report, is their annual report looking at healthcare expenditures and the rate of increase of these expenditures year over year, and they've calculated that, for example, I believe it was New Brunswick within 18 years will have reached the 50% mark of its global budget to cover healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm.
How much time then do we have in this country before any changes that we make become moot? That is, a system already reaches a breaking point or is beyond repair.
Well, I think it's urgent, and politicians don't seem to realize that, because, you know, in the last campaign, who was talking about healthcare? Nobody was talking about
mm-hmm.
that. And we have to realize that the baby boomers, and I'm one of them, they are coming. They are there. And they will. They don't. First, they won't like to wait. And it's a big group. And who will pay for that? It's the youngest generation. They're a smaller group than the baby boomers. So there's a big problem coming on, and we have to address that. The sustainability of the system is someone has to look at that. And there have been some commissions in Quebec, at least that I know, that have spoken about that. But you know, the politicians, they don't want to look at that because their interest is the next election, and they don't want to fix that. But we really have to look at that, because this is a huge problem.
And for our listeners, where can they get more information about the topics that we've discussed today? On the CMA website, for example, is there a specific area on the CMA website that they can actually have something to read?
Oh yes, they could. My speech in Toronto is in both languages, because I'm a francophone. I did the speech in French for a francophone group there, but you can have all those things at cma.ca, and news release or speeches. You could just browse a little bit, and you'll find everything that I've said.
Well, Dr. Ouellette, I'd like to thank you very much for your time to. For presenting the CMA position and your goals for this year, and I wish you all the best in achieving this, because I really do think it is the way we have to go, because the trends right now really show that the system, in terms of its level of affordability, is now becoming less and less affordable.
I believe that it's the way to go, but no, time is running. I only have 1 year, but I want to start something.
Well, I wish you all the best, and I hope to have you back on in about 6 months from now to review and see how things are.
Oh, I'll be there.
All the best.
Thank you.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.